Hi, I'm Oliver Berquez, co-founder of 40 Fit. Welcome to the Brain, Brawn and Business Podcast. A podcast is to get successful people on, just to talk about what inspires them, what motivates them, the successes and the challenges they faced in business, how they've overcome them, what they've learned along the way. It's a really practical podcast trying to offer real value to the listeners and things you can implement on a daily basis, things around business and strategy and habits, lifestyle, performance. Hi, podcast community. Welcome back to another episode of the Brain, Brawn and Business Podcast. Today's episode is my business partner, Dan, at 40 Fit. And for those that don't know, Dan and I play professional sport. We're in football for many years prior to being in business now in the fitness industry, owning 40 Fit and the businesses we have. And certainly what we found through the years of competitive sport is there were some great lessons to be learned, and certainly the principles, our ethos that we apply in our life, in our business, and our health and fitness journey, and what we educate our clients on has come through that experience and has helped shape us. So we're going to share some of the key things now. The way it will work, we'll list the point, and then we'll lead into some explanation between Dan and I, chat around that point, and then some practical take-home points, takeaways that anyone listening can get from it. So that's what's coming up. I hope you enjoy the episode, and leading into the first point now. You are only as good as your last game. So I think for me, it was like, and this is something I learned early, was when I was early days of playing, I'd have a great game and think I was the best thing since sliced bread, and then got carried away because the next game wasn't as good. Suddenly, I got dropped the next game. After the next game wasn't as good, then the next game after got dropped. And I'm like thinking, well, 2 weeks ago, I was the best player.
Yeah.
And you just learn. You learn that you're only as good as your last game. Like, literally, you play that game and then it's on to the next one, because if you get too carried away like that, suddenly you're not as good in that game.
And that's it. And that's like transfer that across to the client or to someone in our world. Like, we talk about, like, whether it be nutritional, whether it be training in the gym, saying how the last one, and almost like the last one doesn't even matter anymore. So if you've had a good meal, you've had a bad meal, like, it doesn't really matter. It's how you then have the, what you have in the next one. So you're looking to be on your fat loss journey, etc. If you've had a bad meal or you had a good one the last one, like, all that actually you can actually affect is actually the future anyway. You can't change the past. Therefore, dwelling on it, like thinking you're the greatest player or whatever, is not going to help you for that next game. It's probably going to hinder you more than anything else. It's the same thing with your food and your nutrition. Like, just focus on making the best choice you can at a particular time. But like exactly as we've sort of said over and over again, I'm just repeating it, but just focus on the next one, the next one, the next one, moving on from that particular thing. It doesn't matter whether you, like, nobody cares really what's happened in the past. Like, it's out of fashion, it's gone, it's been and gone. No matter about what you're going to do tomorrow to affect your future and what you're going to do in that present particular present time.
Yeah, and I think as well, the other thing around that is that is to not use it in a negative way as well. So if you're only good last game, if the last game or the last thing you've done isn't as good, then not to dwell on it, just like you say, the next game, the next encounter, the next interaction, the next food or the next training session, it's all you can impact.
Yeah.
So really try and be present, deal with the present.
The one that I always use is have a long-term goal, but then have quite a very sort of short-term memory. So just forget things that have gone on. Like, be looking like a long way into the future to get there, but just like actually in terms of things that have gone by, doesn't matter how good, how bad they were, forget about it. Just continue moving on.
Yeah, brilliant. Really
moving
good.
Forward.
Number two, no one gets good or better through condemning or criticism. No one ever gets better through condemning or criticism.
Yeah.
So I think it's like playing, years of playing over managers, I'm not going to name managers to name and shame, but the best managers I played under were ones that were, when something didn't go right, were constructive,
yeah,
but gave a solution as well. So it weren't like, oh, you're just rubbish, effing and blinding. Well, all right, tell me what we can do. It was, well, it didn't go to plan well. We've got to think of maybe this tactic, doing this position, do that. What do you think? So it was either
being constructive with the criticism they gave, and then getting you involved in
the process,
in the process to sort out the solution, so you go on the pitch better for it. And I think that approach, how I can see it resonating across now with us working with clients here at 4D, when we work with clients, is it's the same thing. If they're not doing, say, nutritionally right, or they're not training well, it's not saying, "Oh, come on, what you're doing," and dictatorship type approach, or being, you know, criticizing them. It's okay, it hasn't quite gone to plan. Let's look at now. How can we adjust that to make it work for you? What do you feel isn't working? What do you feel you can do? And working with a client, you know, working with players.
Yeah, exactly.
In the same way. So making sure that your positivity, you're constructive, you are articulate, you're engaging with them. So they help with the solutions. And it's like a community element. It's that teamwork to get things done and the results.
People are going to buy more into it, whether it be like any sort of sport, football, whatever it happens to be. But then also in the, like, changing your life within the gym and stuff, if you're part of that process, you're part of the solution anyway, you're part of the solution, then you're going to buy into it so much more. And if you feel an ownership of it, then you've already bought into it so much more, aren't you? Haven't you as well? Yeah. So when you're included in those conversations and, like, in the solution, like at halftime, whatever it is, if you're just then dictated to, again, right, we're going to change it like this, and then you're sort of thinking to yourself, well, I was out there, I know that actually if I do this, then this is going to help more, and that just gets shut down, then people aren't going to take it. Like, me as a player, I wouldn't have taken that too well. I would have been, okay, I'll do it your way, but maybe I'm not going to buy into it. Maybe I'm not going to put all of my effort into it if you're not taking into my consideration. And it's the same with, like, in health and fitness and everything else. There's a lot of different ways to come about. If you, like, let's be honest, most people are looking at weight loss. There's a lot of different ways you can come across a calorie deficit or whatever it happens to be. You can move a little bit more. People are going to respond differently to eating in the morning, to eating in the evening, to, like, having more food in the morning, more food in the evening. They're getting up early, they're getting up later, they're training in the morning, training in the evening. Like, all of these different solutions are out there to do that. And, like, if you're involved in that, you as the coach just going, right, you must train at this time, you must do this, you must eat this, rather than going, right, okay, when do you normally wake up? Are you hungry in the morning? No, I'm not hungry. Okay, cool. Don't worry about it. Have food a bit later on. But making sure that they're doing it, they're getting into that calorie deficit or whatever it happens to be, they're doing the exercise when it fits in there with their lifestyle, rather than being the manager who's like, right, we're playing 4-4-2, we're doing this, we're doing exactly like this, and you will do that.
Number three, keep it simple.
A couple of things, simplicity and also too many things. So, like, I know the half-time team talk hasn't, the game's not gone well, and the manager's written off like 10 things. Well, after three, you just information overload anyway. Yeah. So, like, I forgot what the other seven are. So it's, can you simply get the points across, make sure solutions are understood, and when we're educating, we coach clients, it's giving them small, simple actions that they can follow, they introduce, they understand, that then they can go and put into their lifestyle to make them achieve it.
If I'm saying, like we said before, be positive about it, definitely. Like, also include people in it, but then also don't overload of information. Like we say here, build your habits. Once you've got the foundation, you can then add something else in and make it more complex. Same in the gym with your queuing and stuff. Initially, if someone's never exercised before, I'm not going to give them 25 different cues, or I'm not going to give them something that's really, really advanced type queuing. I'm going to make it simple. I just want to get them moving initially. Yes, maybe to start with, the movement isn't perfect, but if it's someone's first time of doing something and they're not particularly body aware, their proprioception is not particularly good, they're not going to be able to produce the movement straight away. Now, as a coach, does that mean they can't do it? They shouldn't do it? As long as they're not loading themselves too heavily, they can still begin to practice the movement to try and get it. We only get better by practice. We don't suddenly don't try something and then suddenly get perfect at it. We've got to actually try it to get better at it. So it's cueing. It's like, and realizing that perfection is maybe not attainable for everybody. And just slowly, little bit by little bit, as we said, give two or three bits of points. Then a couple of weeks later, maybe you can then give one or two more. Maybe you can give one or two more. If you've got hours and hours and hours with a person, are they going to be wanting to, unless this is what they want to do and they want to learn how to squat, then maybe you can spend an hour teaching them how to squat. But if you're actually providing a service where you're going to give them a workout, then actually we need to move you on from that. So therefore we need to like actually do a little bit more, and therefore one or two points back out, you got half time. Can they do that? Yeah, okay, you've given away a couple of passes, maybe you weren't quite in position, but actually you've done a job for the team and you've actually defended that particular area well. Was it perfect? No, it wasn't, but actually it was better than you were in the first half. So one or two things that have made all the difference.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the simplicity, actually, so that's point three, keep it simple.
Yeah.
And it's actually really true. And I think another thing to add on to that in terms of the football is I think of when games I played in or teams I played in where we got good results, you knew the system. The system was not complex. It was a simple system. Everyone knew their job. Everyone knew their roles. There was just a couple of things to think about in each role. You knew set plays. It was made simple. Everyone understood it. Everyone knew the process.
That's it. And you don't need all those other things. You just need the basics.
Yeah.
And this is what it comes down to at the end of the day. Like, the basics are going to outperform everything else. Like, a lot of the best teams out there, I'm sure all of the best teams out there, do the basics very, very well. And then once you've then got the basics, then if you want to then go further, just the same as if you want to understand food or exercise more, or you want to go into more advanced type of things, you can. But that's not expensive, the basics. Get the basics right. If you can't control a ball, you can't like head a ball, or you can't like you don't understand positioning, etc., then there's no point worrying about anything else after that, because you can't actually control the ball yet. So
yeah,
you're not going to be much use to anybody until you can do that and get the basics right. Then you can move on from there.
Definitely. So
simplicity number three.
Number four, it's a work people don't see that is reflected in the work they do see.
People don't see, which is reflective of the work they do see. So my interpretation, how I'm going to interpret that is basically people and top athletes, and I think of, if I relate to myself playing football and stuff, and that's something I've got from the latter years, I had to work so hard. You had to work to stay conditioned. As you got older and injuries come in, to maintain that. So it's like the conditioning, the fitness, the recovery work, all these things you had to do. And that's all but hours behind the scenes. No one would see that. So it's that dedication, that application behind the scenes, all that work you did, so that on a Saturday, for that 90 minutes, you could perform.
Yeah.
And I think I probably took it for granted in the early days because we're fit and we could get away with stuff, but really valued that even more in the latter years. So it's like all that work behind the scenes is what people saw at 3 o'clock on a Saturday.
Yeah, exactly.
And what you see now is the results people get in with clients' success stories. And we're doing testimonials and you're seeing the videos of the progress they've made. There's a lot of work that's gone behind the scenes. They're being good with their food. They're being consistent. They are, if they're having a little bit of more relaxed approach and a couple of meals, they're getting back on it the next time, but they're very consistent. They're consistently training 3 times a week. They're staying hydrated. They're trying to get their sleep in. So they're doing things behind the scenes. And all people are seeing then is a healthier person, a healthier lifestyle, a healthier body, a healthier person, a more positive person. But they've done all the work that's gone behind it.
Yeah.
So I think, all that work, you need some dedication, application, you need to be motivated to do the work behind the scenes.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I remember as a kid, like, people will say to you, oh, you're just naturally gifted, this, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, you're not seeing all the other work that, like, exactly as you said, like, going when I used to go on, I remember going on holidays, like, as a 12, 13-year-old, and wherever we'd be, I'd find the biggest hill I could find, and I'd be doing hill sprints. It's like, you come back into pre-season, and people going, oh, what, you're just so fit. It's like, no, I was doing the work. Like, I went away and did the work, put the hours in, did the sprints when it was hard, and now I'm reaping the rewards for it. But people don't really see that. It's the same in business, same in everything. People think, oh, you get these overnight success. Like, oh, it's just an overnight success. You've just suddenly become you've suddenly got a gym, or you've done well in business, or like you're an online coach, etc. Yeah, online coach after 20 years of being a coach in the gym. Like, this is not something that I just suddenly, like,
because I just remember, you've wrote something before, seen over the years, where you've gone an overnight 18 years to be an overnight success or something. So true.
Yeah, exactly. So true. It's the same with these guys. Like, sport definitely teaches you that. Like, it teaches you that put the work in and then go and explain it, go and show what you can do. Like I say to all my athletes, particularly the athletes anyway, because it's like that show day, or because of the strength athletes, they only really compete one day. They're not competing every weekend. It's like, that's just your 1%.
Yeah.
Your 99% is all the other stuff. And like, you don't really want to show what you can do until that one day, because it doesn't matter until that day, until the one day you've got to perform. Yeah. And it's like when we get getting across to clients, it's just those little behaviors. Like the world we live in now is we live in a highlight reel world. We live in people on Facebook and Instagram, and we're probably the same as well. You only put your best days up because that's what you do. That's what everybody seems to do. And I'm no different to anybody else, because people want to see good things and want to see success. But also, they're not seeing all the other bits. They're not seeing the times when it is hard, the times when you are going through this, the other bits and pieces that are just part of your everyday life. If someone was to, when I've got lean in the past, and you get a photo shoot, or you've like got yourself into that position where you're absolutely ripped, etc., people again are just seeing those pictures. They're not seeing the dedication and the sacrifice and everything you've made that you, to go through that process. And like you say, then people just don't see those other days.
I think as well, Cal, is that still running, LinkedIn?
Still running, yeah.
Yeah, I think professional sport or LinkedIn, because you did the Decker Ironman.
Yeah.
I don't think people would quite realise how hard that is until they've done it. The work that you went in, for you to be able to run that, do that Decker Ironman.
Yeah.
And that's what people don't realise. They'll see you doing the Decker Ironman, oh, you know, aren't you strong and stuff, but the hours you put in to get to that point.
Yeah, exactly.
It's phenomenal. And that's the application. You need to do something, you know. Reason I'm still playing at 36, and I mean, I actually retired because of family choice.
Yeah,
I want to do a family
choice, not because,
like I mean, the manager saying, Ollie, do another year. Come on, go up a league now, do another year. I was like, no, I was done. But I had the niggles and the tough things, and some days the body ache, but it meant a lot to me. And actually, I've become more stubborn actually, because I got to 36 and they got these little youngsters running around giving it, oh, yeah, old boy, just fueled my fire then. I thought, well, I'm going to stay shape. But what I mean is, you know, even 18, 19 years on, I'm still working hard. I'm working, even worked even harder probably then to be able to play and get out there and still perform. And so I held myself to high standard. I didn't want to let the team down, and I wanted to let myself down. And it was actually become a bit of a...
But that was also, like you've said there, as you've got to that age, you still had all those years behind you, and you put all the work in over those years. And like, whatever it is, I'm not gonna say youngsters in that example, but it's like you've gone through those years, and like people don't really understand how many pre-seasons you've gone through, how many runs you've done on your own outside of the team, how many games you've played. It's the same thing with the Decker Ironman as well. Like people don't really understand. Like if you haven't actually gone for a 10K run, you're not going to understand what 10 marathons is like. If you haven't gone and done a 100-mile cycle, you're not going to understand what 1,100 miles is like for a cycle, let alone doing 10 marathons after that. And if you haven't swam for half an hour, you're not going to understand what swimming like 14 hours nonstop is. So like when it's something so big like that, like people just don't, they can't even comprehend it. They can't comprehend that there was only one person in Britain at the time who'd ever done it. You can't comprehend that more people have been into space than have done that. So it's like, people who have done some sort of long distance things can understand it a little bit, but that's just doing it, let alone the background behind and how much effort and time and sacrifice you have to make in the background to actually achieve it on the day. People just see the one day. They think, oh, that guy's, I kind of worked that hard for that.
I know.
Yeah, exactly.
But this is why I think doing this, I thought, do you know what? I think this will be sharing some really good content and stuff to be able to pass on this, because we take these things from professional sport to give it to our clients to coach and help them. Or if it's not our clients, when we share this content, people are going to read it. It might resonate with them. Actually, these things go on. Like a healthy lifestyle is an ongoing process.
Yeah.
Like you just said, I played for 19 years. It was an ongoing process. I didn't have 4 months off to then play. Even in the off season, you're still doing stuff because it's a long-term approach to playing football. And people need to approach their lifestyle in the same way. There needs to be consistent work behind the scenes, your consistent daily behaviours. It doesn't always have to be healthy, but it has to be consistently healthy, more healthy than less healthy.
Yeah, just being more progressive, so you're more helpful than unhelpful. Yeah, exactly. And like our stories that we're talking about now are the extremes. But for our clients, when we speak about our clients, their Everest or their like Channel Swimmer or their Decker Ironman is something that's never going to be to that extreme. But we look at the qualities, we look at the things, the habits that they need to form to just get themselves to their goals, to make themselves that little bit better. Like, we understand all of those habits, but we understand beyond that because we've gone so much further to those like tiny little percentages of people within the world who've done this. Yet the same applies for that basic level of consistency. If we neglected those first things, for in just talking about a few, sleep, recovery, like a basic movements, then we wouldn't be able to get to those levels either. If we didn't do those things right, then we couldn't achieve that. And that's the same with any top sportsman, anything. And that's why it's applicable all along the lines for anybody in life. Like, it still boils down to the base, get the basics right, and then you can build from there. Whatever the goal may be, whether it be just to lose 5 pounds, whether it be to complete a marathon, or whether it be to run around the world or cycle around the world, or whatever it happens to be, you've still got to get those basics right, make it applicable for your goal.
So it's, I think, the work behind, work that people don't see effectively, and then what they do see. It's the same with lifestyle, so it's relevant for people. If you want, you know, people are going to see you in better shape and healthier. There's a lot of work that's gone behind the scenes to get there.
You've planned your meals, you've prepped your meals, you've created your meals at home, you're doing all those little bits and pieces, you're going to bed a little bit earlier, you're getting up in the morning maybe to do some exercise, you're going out for a walk to get your steps in, etc., to raise your NEAT up. You're doing those little bits, but nobody's sort of seeing it.
Yeah, definitely.
Number 5, don't get too carried away with the highs or too down with the lows.
Don't get too carried away with the highs and don't get too down with the lows.
Yeah, I go along with it to a point. I think in a season, definitely, then you should be like that. But I also am a big advocate for celebrating your wins as well.
Yeah.
I think because you don't, like in life, particularly if we're talking away from sport now, or even in sport sometimes, you don't win that often. Like, there's not going to be huge amounts of people have always got winning records. So when you do win something or you do achieve your goal, then I think you should celebrate that, because you've obviously made sacrifices, you've like been determined, you've put effort into it, and therefore you should like celebrate that.
Yeah, I think it's good.
But again, you don't have to go too high and like stay.
Yeah, and I think we're slightly different actually, because I'll be guilty of, and I still do it now, achieve a goal, what's the next goal, move on. I don't celebrate my wins enough.
Yeah.
Give myself a pat on the back. I've just always been like, Victoria say to me, it's great what you've just done. You just sort of move on. You're not animated. No, I am, but I'm just in a mindset to keep progressing and to keep achieving. So I love the process. So I really enjoy the process. So actually, and so I should like to do it more. So actually, there's a fine line actually between this, because I know you do where, and I totally get
I've been
that.
The same as well in the past, though.
Yeah.
I think as I got older, I've learned to take it in, understand it a bit more, and actually go, do you know what? This has been really good. I have made the sacrifice. Now I do deserve something. So but now I'm going to get back on it and go again.
Yeah, and it realised actually when we opened the gym and stuff like that, it's an ambition of ours to do.
Yeah.
A shed load of work had gone into it for 2 years to get to the point of opening the gym. But you've been involved in StoryCal, so you know it's been discussed before. Open the gym, but it was like, right, now we need new members. Do we need to find members, program? So learn what we need to improve in the program. Okay, we tweaked it, we moved on, and now it's just been open a year, got really nice client base. And we chatted, didn't we, last time we were down, and we said year open, great members, and actually it was a nice little bit of a pat ourselves on the back. So it was good to realise that. But it was not allowing too much to take your eye off the ball still, because it's always you're always evolving and stuff. So I think so that's something that's been good, and I think I could do a little bit more of that. How I relate that and to get it across into real life, from my perspective is, and I relate to football, is, certainly early days. And I had a good game. I thought it was the best thing. I got carried away. It was the best thing since sliced bread. And then when I had a bad game.
It goes back to point one again almost.
Yeah, it's a little bit, you know, like you get dragged off.
Yeah.
And, but I'll make a slightly different point. You got dragged off and it was like, oh, the world's going to end. I'm a rubbish player and stuff. So it then affects your confidence. And it affects then the next game and the output. So you just learn to, great win, keep going. At the end of the season, when we won the league, that's when you can really celebrate. Celebrate the small wins, but stay focused enough to go on there.
Yeah.
And relate it to clients, you know, set yourself achievable goals. It doesn't have to be too extreme. when you hit that action, it might be a small action for 2 weeks. Look at the next action. It's a small, gradual progress to keep you on a trend of success and getting healthier and performing better and where you want to get to. So it's certainly having good perspective now on the highs and the lows and keeping it at a level.
Yeah, and you don't really know where your highs and lows are.
No.
I remember, like, I've been quite an advocate for like that, like stoicism, where you seem to be quite level-headed and almost not, I wouldn't say unemotional, but like you're quite like stoic means you're pretty like, you know, expect the highs and the lows.
I'm really good at that.
Yeah, but I think as I've gone on, I've realised that actually you do need to celebrate your wins a little bit more.
Yeah,
because like it's great, and I felt like that was the way I should portray myself, or I wanted to portray myself. But it meant that actually you become fucking boring to a point, if you know what I mean. Because you're always like this, you're like this, and like actually you need to get out and actually like people in real life are not that. People aren't like that. People are up and down. People do these things. And yeah, we need to, if we can, the more we can stay on that even keel, I do think you get more progress in that way. But actually, there are times when you should actually, I am going to like celebrate this. But then also, when you are low, admit you are low. And like, that's the time when maybe you need someone for help and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
it's really good.
Depression and stuff is like, we are going through a period of time, like right now, where there's like mental health and things like that are so like prevalent stuff, and people are experiencing more of these lows. But actually admitting it, talking about it, is the first way to actually bring yourself back into that middle ground and stuff. And like actually saying that you're in that position, like it's not a weakness, it's a strength. And like from sport, definitely, like we know that that's like, it's a very strong male environment, obviously in football and stuff, because male football teams, you don't get mixed teams.
Yeah, cool,
but there are guys in there who are going to have been struggling in dressing rooms who haven't said things.
No,
and that young, that middle, sort of middle age group males, like susceptible to depression, suicides, etc., things like that. Like having those, like talking about it and actually, like sharing with people, and that's why coaching, like, is so helpful and important sometimes, because there is someone there you can talk to about these things. Because
yeah, definitely. So I think a take home point is, and I think the take home point for people will be, when you set yourself a goal and you achieve it, enjoy the win, celebrate your win. Maybe treat yourself. It might be a meal out, or you're going to go away with the missus or your husband, or you're going to go away with the kids, or you're going to go and buy a item of clothing or something. So I think find that middle, that happy medium of celebrating the small win.
Well, celebrating the big
then,
win, but then
a big win as well, and then having the next goal, having something else to go towards, so that you're then keep continuing this. You know, you're striving for something.
So where your high might be only middle ground a year later, it might be something that seems like it's quite middle. Yeah. At the time, it seems like it's quite high. Cool.
Number 6, the importance of teamwork and community.
So next point is how important teamwork was in the team environment. Because you've mentioned about the lows here, and I think this leads in really well. Cal, is that still running?
Oh, still running.
Cool. I think, so from my perspective, I think the teamwork, team environment is hugely important. You know, and you're not going to be friends with everyone. I weren't friends with everyone in the team. But when you have respected each other and you want to support each other, you pull each other through the bad games, the bad times, the tough times. If you weren't having a good game and your mate put your arm around you, come on, you can do this. And then he's running the extra mile. It pulled you up.
Yeah.
So teamwork's so important for camaraderie, for support, for interaction. And that's so important, I think, from a healthy lifestyle is that your partners are involved in, you let them know what you're trying to do. Try and be healthy together. Try and involve the kids, the family. So as a family, you're being healthy together. That's why we create a small group concept.
Yeah.
Because we wanted people, like-minded people, to come and support each other. Because as a team, you get there better. You can celebrate that as a team. You pull each other.
Winning, you lose together, don't you?
Winning, you lose together. You're not always going to feel good in the gym. You're not always going to have a good training session. Share it, as you said. Actually, if people shared their lows a little bit more, you bring people up and you pull people through. So the importance of teamwork has been huge.
Yeah, and like you said, the reason we created the small group concept was to make sure that people could have that support, like, and people around them, because as much as a perfect a scenario would be that they've got family and people who they're going to bring along the journey with them, not everybody does. Not everybody has that support, external support, and that's why at 4D we're trying to create an environment where actually the people you're training with are going to support you, the coaches are going to support you and educate you and help you, because outside of that, some people haven't got the family or the support at work. They might actually have bad influences. Their partner might actually be totally against them, like trying to better themselves. Their colleagues might be pushing the ice bums their way or donuts their way, trying to, because you know what it's like. Not everybody likes to see you win.
No,
but like the environment we're creating is an environment where like the groups of people who are training together do want to win. They're all here because they want to win.
And they want each
because
other
they
to
want to improve. Yeah, and they want each other to improve. And like we become the average of the people we spend our time with.
Yeah.
And if you're spending your time three times a week with other people who are looking to get better, then you're going to get dragged up in that. And like an hour a week with one person or with one coach, or an hour a week with three other sort of trainers with who you're training with, will be a big thing. Like 3 hours, like you won't spend three like intense hours with three other people probably in the week. It probably won't happen. So like actually being around those people could be the strongest bonds that you get, because you think about it, how often do you actually go out and see your mates now?
Well,
like as we get older, we've got priorities are less and less. Priorities are dragged elsewhere. So actually having those strong support groups around you will drag us forward. Teamwork makes the dream work.
Number 7, it takes serious hard work to be successful or achieve anything.
Serious hard work, commitment and application to win things and be successful. And that's a little bit of the one away behind the work you don't see.
Yeah.
But I think what you realise is now, when I won the season, the times when we won a title, a league title, think of all the hours of the games, you're travelling away, the tough games you might have overcome to win, training you have to do on the field of play, you know, over a 9-month period, or 10 months, we went back pre-season early, how much went in, how much hard work, application, commitment, dedication had to go into to be successful and to achieve. And I think that how I can relate that across now into anyone real life listening would be that you need to, it has to be a long-term approach. Quick fixes don't exist. You're not going to get there quickly. It takes hard work, commitment, dedication. Don't have to be perfect, you know? You don't have to be perfect, but it just takes a period of time. Is it hard work, consistency? It has to go into it if we want to be healthy in the lifestyle. Yeah, you can get a quick fix and a few shakes and take a few cut of magic pills or whatever you're going to be, or you're going to be in like extreme changes and stuff, but that's not long-term.
Yeah,
that's not hard work and commitment and consistency. That's just a very short period of time. And that's the teams that were up there for a period and ended up at a 10th bottom.
Yeah.
Because they had that, didn't have that long-term approach, dedication.
Yeah.
So that's what I'd sort of share from that and maybe add to into that.
Yeah, and I think like from the times when I've achieved like really big things as well, is when once you've changed yourself or you've won a league title or something, you've now become something different. You now approach things in a different way. You walk a different way. You hold yourself in a different way. And it's the same when you change yourself in the gym, when you've lost a bit of weight or you've actually achieved you've run your first 5K or 10K or whatever. Maybe you've done like a mud race or whatever. You think, actually, I can do this. I can do this. Maybe that bit of that work, I've got to stay and do a bit for an extra hour or looking after the kids. Like I was saying, you believe in yourself. Like when I finished the Decker Ironman, I didn't think anything was impossible then. I thought I could literally achieve anything. It makes you more resilient. It makes you more resilient to life,
definitely,
just general life.
Definitely.
Like when you have struggles in relationships, when you have struggles at work, or you're going through tough times when you're maybe not getting on with your boss or those types of things, like having achieved your goal health-wise or physically, like completing your 5K, it makes you a different person. It strengthens your mindset, strengthens your resilience, and it changes you. Like, and that's why from playing those games when you're 2-0 down, 15 minutes to go, you come back 2-1, 2-2, suddenly you're like, right, we go on to win this. You get out there, anything's possible that week. You're having the best week of your
life.
Like, you go into the next game, you're absolutely flying. So, like, from sport and into life, it's the same thing. When you've achieved, like, a big target or something at work, like you do feel like anything, I can sell anything, I can do anything. So like changing your health, changing like the way you feel about yourself, they can all transpire into giving you more resilience and more confidence in life.
I love the resilience thing. That's so true. That's so true.
And finally, number eight, set an example to others.
Be aware of the example that you're setting for people. Like, both played good standards of football, like in front of crowds, in front of little kids, like watching you, etc. And just the same as it is in sport, you've got to be aware of the things that are going on, and you are setting an example for people. Like, one of the things I always try and make sure I do is that things that I post, trying to be positive all the time, and trying to lead and inspire people and empower people.
Yeah.
And like from football, just going into a story, but remember from Chelmsford, we went up to Oldham and we played in the FA Cup. And in the night, three of us got disciplined because somebody saw something we were in the hotel bar, we played Oldham in the FA Cup. Three of us ended up doing like a Mooney. Guys coming out of the taxi, like literally it's like 1 o'clock in the morning.
So we played the game.
In the evening, like as everyone's coming in dribs and drabs back to the hotel, me, two others, I can't remember
where
who
we
it was.
Gone out in Oldham?
Manchester. Yeah. Gone out of Manchester, come back to the hotel. Three of us pulled Moonies at the other guys who just arrived back in. It might have even been me pulling at you or someone else as they came in. Some woman was in a hotel room, saw it at like 1 o'clock. Obviously, there's a lot of noise and stuff going on anyway. And in the morning, she complained. So the next day, the manager then was saying she's going to go to the press unless something's done about this. So one player was released. Two of us were transfer listed and fined.
That mate, Jesus, man.
This is like a proper actual example of how you are setting an example. Yeah. Like as innocent as it was, you can't do those things. I'm sure there's examples of much, much higher than that, where things you can't do those things. But that goes down in my head of like reminding myself of actually that when you put things out, because it's not something that we should, like when you put things out to the world, it's how you hold yourself and how you like doing it on a regular basis now. From our perspective, actually showing that we can go to those extremes and the behaviors you need to go to those extremes, I think shows it's not how you want someone to live all the time, but it shows that we can do it. I think we should go through those processes.
Yeah,
but actually also realizing that most normal people don't mind seeing me having a beer at the NFL at the weekend and having a hot dog. They realise that I'm a normal person. That's the way I live most of my time.
And I think it shows humility. And I talk about it. I think we spoke about Cameron and stuff like that. And you know, we're very similar, like me, aren't we? You know, it shows humility. It shows that real life. It shows that you can be a real person, a human, and to talk to clients and stuff because they're not at that level. And I think those experiences and that approach is so important. And that's why I feel, you know, we see progress in clients we've worked with, or now we relate to 4D and the stuff we're doing here, and it really helps. And I think that's such an important thing.
People don't need to go to the extremes that we've been to be a professional footballer, to complete a Dakar Ironman, to compete in the strongman at world level. People don't need to do that, but I'm showing them that if you do the basics well, you do like do this consistently for a long, long period of time, you can do it. But it's like realizing that actually as well, like I want to set an example. I want to do that. But my philosophy and our philosophy is a lot more about being sustainable and being balanced in life.
Yeah.
And that actually going to those extremes is only going to make you rebound again the other way. So actually having those little bits and pieces, keeping those things in your life, but actually realizing that we always bring it back to weight loss, because most people are going to want to be in weight loss. That actually in the week, if you want to have the burger or the hot dog, you can easily combine those things in and make it sustainable within your calorie intake. You don't need to go to extremes of cutting bread out. I'm not going to eat any sugar or any sweets ever again. But is that sustainable? No, because you're probably then going to rebound the other way and one day you have a massive binge and go crazy on it. But you can still do it and have little bits of it. And that's what I try and show, that actually having these things. But if I'm going to commit to a goal, then I'm going to set the example. I'm going to show you that actually I will stick to it 100%. And if you want to go, if you want to change your life, then you're probably going to have to make those sacrifices.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, we talk about clean slate policy, don't we? And I think it's really important for people that the point you're making there is so true, that if you have an unhealthy meal and a takeaway, it doesn't mean then you're going to have 10 on the bounce.
Yeah, that's the difference.
Do you know what I mean? That is the difference. It's realisation. So we try and get across to people, look, a healthy lifestyle is one of good life. It's good, not perfect.
Yeah.
And if you have a bad meal, the clean slate policy, which we talk about, it's just the next day it's gone.
Yeah.
Wipe the slate clean. What you do, you can only then impact what you do in that day you're in.
Yeah.
Dealing with the present. And I think that's what people need to understand is that, look, you're not going to lead a perfect lifestyle. Perfect lifestyle, you know, doesn't exist. Perfection only, I think, builds resentment and restriction in people, and I think that's when you're going to rebound and go another way.
And longer term issues. Yeah.
Yeah. So clean slate policy, wipe the slate clean, get on with the next day, and just focus on being good, not perfect. And I think people can achieve that over a longer period of time, and that's what you've got to pitch. That's what you've got to aim towards.
There we go. 8 key points Dan and I learned through our years in football. And now just to summarise on those 8 things. Number 1, you're only as good as your last game. So that game has now gone. So whatever you do now moving forward, your next game, your next meeting, your next training session is all you can impact. And just make sure that you nail it with 100% commitment and precision. Number 2, no one gets better through criticism or condemning. And whether that's in business, with staff, with clients, you've got to be positive. You've got to get them involved in decision-making so they buy into the process. And if you do have any issues or problems, then you've got to articulate that. You've got to be constructive and come up with those solutions. Number 3, keep it simple. Simplicity is key. So relating that to health, your health, fitness, your lifestyle goals, that's small, achievable actions, a simple process. So simple actions, 1 or 2 at a time, not overcommitting, not trying to do too many things. You've got to understand the process, keep it simple, and that's so important for growth and longevity. Number 4, it's the work that people don't see that is reflective in the work they do see. So that's the behind the scenes work. That is, you know, if it's fitness, lifestyle, whatever it may be, it's literally putting in the hours of graft behind the scenes, which goes unnoticed, which people don't see. And it's that effort and input that is then reflected in the results they do see. So if that's a health change or a body transformation or lifestyle transformation or performance, a lot of work's gone in behind the scenes. Number 5, don't get too carried away with the highs and too down with the lows. So it's about celebrating your small wins, your big wins, or celebrate your wins. And then have a next goal in mind so you keep moving forward. You're not dwelling on that. When it comes to your lows, not getting too downhearted with your lows. Accept them, learn from them, and then move forward and just impact that next performance to help you grow and get better. Number 6, the importance of teamwork and community. So that's having people around you. It might be for a training goal that can support you to help you move forward in any environment. That teamwork, working together, picking people up is so important for success in whatever you are doing. Number 7, it takes serious hard work to be successful. Any successful person, anyone that's achieved something, they have worked extremely hard to do that. Anything less than that, it's you're not going to get there. So it takes serious dedication, hard work, commitment to whatever you are trying to achieve over a long period of time for any success to happen. And finally, number 8, set an example. So whether that's to your children, to your work colleagues, to your friends, to your clients, whatever you're doing, set an example, lead, show people how you do it, help people, support people, and be positive in your actions. We're role models in everything we do. So set an example is key. There we have it, guys. So I hope you enjoyed those 8 points that we made. As always, I'd love to hear from you. So drop me a message on LinkedIn, Oliver Berquez, or any social platforms. Also, you can get in touch with Dan Coach, Dan Reeve, on Instagram or Facebook. But if you just want to have a chat about the gym, 4D Fit, then we've got an open door policy. Pop down, have a chat. We'd love to hear what you may be trying to achieve. If we can help in any way, then obviously we'd love to. Our next course, our next Islamic program starts on Monday, the 6th of January. And if anyone is interested in jumping on that for their new year health kick, for the new year goals, then get in touch. We do before work early sessions, and then after the school run up to lunchtime and then into the evening, and now a Saturday. So yeah, if you'd like any help with your training goals, then get in touch with us on info@4dfit.co.uk. And other than that, thanks so much everyone for listening, and look forward to checking in with you on the next episode. Thank you so much for everyone for listening to the podcast today. If you enjoyed the episode, then please leave us a review, or if you know anyone that might get value from it, then just share the podcast with them. If you want to get in touch, I'd love to connect or hear from you. I'm on main social platforms, Oliver Berquez, or you can email me oliver@4dfit, that's the number 4dfit.co.uk. If you are interested in getting a little bit more advice and support, I've got a private Facebook group called Brain, Brawn and Business Community. And that's just offering advice and more support from the podcast, taking clips from that around business, health, performance and lifestyle. So it's Brain, Brawn and Business Community. You can find it on Facebook and come and join us. Other than that, thanks again for listening, and look forward to checking in with you at the next episode.